I'm David Dobler. I'm the president of Sheldon Jackson College. I've been serving in that capacity since the spring of 2006. Prior to that, I was on the board and was chair of the board when the trustees intervened in the management of the school. For the past 4 years, nearly, I've been living on campus as the administrator, first through the final year of operation of the school, then the decision to close, and now in the settling of the finances and the tying together of a great number of loose ends.
And institutionally speaking, Sheldon Jackson now is a board of trustees, mm-hmm. an administrator, and a property.
And a controller.
Right.
So we have maybe four people working on the campus. Myself, Debbie Puckett is the controller, and we have two maintenance people who help keep everything tight and secure.
And you have a relationship with Pacific Tower Properties as your...
Sure.
Your property management.
Yeah, when we closed, we had a senior creditor is Alaska Growth Capital out of Anchorage. PTP, or Pacific Tower Properties, we engaged as our property manager, both to manage the facilities and to handle the marketing of properties.
Tell us about Sheldon Jackson in 2007, before academic operations were suspended. How many students did the school have mm-hmm. enrolled? How many faculty?
In that last year of operations, the student body full-time on campus was about 130. The faculty full-time, part-time, adjunct was probably 40 persons in different programs, and 100 or so employees for the school as a whole.
Tell us about the crisis and how that how you reached that closing point.
Looking at the crisis that brought about the closing of the school is similar to reading that book called The Tipping Point, where trends were in place, business practices had been continued for a long time that reached a point where things were unsustainable. The point of closure came when there was no longer cash to service the debt of the school. You know, to develop an institution like that in Sitka, in territorial Alaska, took a lot of savvy and hard work. And so for 125 years, the institution had been developing. In recent years, the finances sort of spun out of control. Situation the Board of Trustees faced in 2005 and 6 and 7 was a debt load that was just unserviceable. So in the spring of 2007, we thought we had a finance package put together that would allow for the restructuring of the school financially in a way that would keep us open. And when that package fell apart, there was no alternative but to close.
And the debt burden that's commonly quoted is $12
million. $12 million is a nice round number. And we've addressed about half of that now.
That's got to be good news.
It is good news.
Tell us about the campus itself. I mean, one of the ways that Sheldon Jackson is addressing this debt is selling its land. Mm-hmm. holdings, but the core campus is still there.
You know, for those of us in Sitka, the locale here can seem old hat, but to somebody who's never seen Sitka, it's like walking into a calendar. So the campus of Sheldon Jackson College was originally a homestead of about 300 acres, and if you imagine starting at the shore and moving up a valley for a mile and a half, with mountains around and the Pacific Ocean behind you, that was the original campus of Sheldon Jackson College. The quad, or the formal area that people would think of the school, is about 30 acres, which now has a quad of buildings modeled on the University of Virginia, but craftsman in style. So if you can imagine an Alaska panorama, mountains behind, green grass, a quad of five craftsman buildings, an eagle soaring around. That's the campus of Sheldon Jackson College. The college also owns a hatchery, which is just adjacent to the main quad, the only college in the country that runs its own hatchery as a teaching hatchery. So we've got the ocean, the mountains, the glaciers, everything within a walk.
And Allen Auditorium is a National Historic Landmark.
It is. It's a wonderful building in the center of the focal point visually of the campus. About a 300-seat auditorium on the first floor, classrooms up above, wonderful views. You know, the way architects in the 1900s handled light was somewhat different than we do today when we assume that there are light bulbs. Back then, they made use of every bit of natural light that was around, so it's light on the inside and spectacular looking from the out.
These buildings, they are beautiful, and the campus is decidedly historic to look at it, but tell us about the physical integrity of these buildings, because they are 19th century mm-hmm. structures. What's the maintenance load like on them? What kind of project is it to keep them up to modern educational standards?
Well, all of us in Alaska, and especially in Southeast, know that the maintenance of a building is always an ongoing project. The buildings, to the best of my knowledge and my examination, are structurally sound, and that's what we've been told by engineers who have been through. You know, you have to keep up with your painting here, and we haven't painted in the past couple of years. There are some places where the floors wave a bit as the foundations over the years have shifted. But the historic buildings, as they were surveyed by the Park Service some years ago and by architects since, are in basically sound shape structurally.
How did we arrive at this interesting campus on this incredible property?
Sure. In the history of the United States and of education in our country, many institutions have come out of churches. The University of Dubuque in Iowa actually began in a church and was a way of training people to be pastors in German congregations. Sheldon Jackson was a noted missionary, among other things, of the Presbyterian Church, who began a training school for Tlingit children here in Sitka in 1878. Initially, it was for boys, but then a few years later, the girls' school in Wrangell suffered a fire, and so suddenly a boatload of girls arrived in Sitka, and SJ became a co-educational training school. Then students who were here petitioned and asked that they could live here year-round, and it became a year-round boarding school. As the country developed and education developed, you could say that the class level of the school expanded upward from a training school to a high school to a junior college, and in the 70s became a four-year college. Along the way, students were trained in boat building, politics, finance, teaching. Looking backwards, the school has had a great impact on the state's political history, since the Alaska Native Brotherhood, Alaska Native Sisterhood were arguably born at SJ, and the community of students that came, of Native students that came from around the state to Sitka, really developed their political savvy and skills here. So the school has been tied in tightly with the history of the state and with the mission of the Presbyterian Church, which always thought that education is part of God's good news and ought to be offered freely.
And although the Presbyterian Church did found and own Sheldon Jackson for a number of years, it's been an independent college.
Yes, the Presbyterian Church has founded hundreds of colleges, but in the 1970s, the sense of the church was that colleges were best governed by local boards of trustees and not managed centrally. So a board of trustees was set up here in Sitka, and the property and responsibilities to the college were transferred from the college to this independent board. So the board now is independent, though there are a number of Presbyterians that are members of the Board of Trustees.
All right. Let's talk about the trustees a little bit and the trustees meeting with Jeffrey Bullock from Dubuque back in the fall, and this idea of a plan of transformation. What kind of progress has been made on the plan, and how are the trustees feeling about it?
The conversation with the University of Dubuque goes back many months before the visit of Jeffrey Bullock to our campus here recently. Actually, I've known Jeffrey Bullock for a number of years, and when I was chair of the board, there were times when I called President Bullock to get his opinion and guidance on various things in the world of higher education. The interest between Dubuque and SJ, and particularly of us being able to convey the campus to the University of Dubuque, has been under discussion for perhaps a year and a half, and exploring, gathering more information, seeing what made sense from the University of Dubuque side, what was possible from the Sheldon Jackson side. I think where we are now is that the University of Dubuque is seeking to determine whether educationally it makes sense for them to locate programs here and whether it can be done in a way that is economically sustainable. On the Shelton Jackson side, you know, our board is determined to, one, settle the debts of the school, and two, convey the campus in a usable way to some entity that can use it for education that is consistent with the historic mission of the school. So on our side, I think we're about halfway there on the debts. The mission of Shelton Jackson seems to run in such parallel ways to the history and mission of the University of Dubuque that we're very happy with this relationship and certainly hope that it comes to fruition. And we look to ongoing and intensifying talks with the University of Dubuque.
And the plan itself, did that ever materialize as a document, or is that still just a
No, there's not a document. You know, what we've said over and over again, and as has President Bullock, is that the University of Dubuque is not going to assume or buy out the debt of Shelton Jackson College, because the University of Dubuque has had its own history of transformation, and they are noted in the world of higher education for delivering a wonderful educational product, but in an economically sustainable way. And their achievements of the past decade are one of the things that gives confidence to the Board of Trustees at Shelton Jackson. And on our side, we need to put to bed a lot of unfinished business here, so that what we would like to do is convey the campus to the University of Dubuque, but with no strings attached and with as little freight as possible.
And you traveled to Dubuque in October with a delegation from Sitka. And what was your impression of the University of Dubuque?
Well, to talk about the University of Dubuque, you have to talk about the community of Dubuque, because the economic revitalization of the community of Dubuque parallels and is intertwined with the reinvention of the University of Dubuque over the past 10 years. So last summer, when the folks from the University of Dubuque were visiting us here in Sitka, they invited our mayor and our city manager and the head of our local development association to come to Dubuque and see how they did partnership with the city and the county there. So I traveled with our mayor and city manager and head of the Sitka Economic Development Association to Dubuque and got, I must say, the full tour or the full treatment from the mayor of Dubuque and their city manager, their development folks, as well as the University of Dubuque. And an overwhelming impression was of the close partnership in economic development and in seeing both the value of higher education and the involvement of higher education in the economic welfare of a community that's developed in Dubuque, and the closeness of their working relationship, the candor with which they spoke, was very stimulating. And one of the things that the president of the University of Dubuque has said is that they look for the same kind of relationship between an academic operation here in Sitka and the Sitka government. And so we're working on developing that.
Did you get a sense that Shelton Jackson and Sitka represented an opportunity for the University of Dubuque, or was it still characterized as a potential liability?
Before I was a pastor, I ran lumber yards. And when you go into a business relationship, there are always opportunities and challenges, and you want to make sure that the challenges don't sink you but become ways to develop what you entered the relationship with for in the first place. For the University of Dubuque, what we offer is a living laboratory in environmental sciences that is on the rim of the North Pacific with mountains right behind us. The University of Dubuque has a very strong environmental science program centered on the Mississippi Valley. They have a research facility on the inland sea of the Great Lakes. And for them to also have this laboratory on the edge of the North Pacific is a wonderful opportunity for them, both for research, but especially to say to students, if you come to the University of Dubuque, you can do salmon from stream to tide, you can do a big river, and you can do an inland sea. Shelton Jackson College also has a long tradition and still many openings in the world of education. We trained a great number of teachers here in Alaska, and teaching is another important part for Dubuque. And the University of Dubuque has a very strong nursing program and and other offerings in the medical field. So I think we do look to them as an opportunity that fits well with their strengths.